Well, good morning. We are going to be in Philippians chapter 4. If you would like to follow along, we're going to be talking, as you've probably gathered, about joy and happiness and contentment and what that looks like, biblically speaking. And I really appreciated Pastor Scott's joke earlier. It really cracked me up. I love dad jokes, so it was good. You got to be a little cheesy, have a little fun, right? So in Philippians chapter 4, Paul is wrapping up this letter, this section of scripture where he has been encouraging and sharing all the things we've talked about the past few weeks. And so he begins chapter 4 here with saying, "Therefore, my brothers and sisters, whom I long and live for, my joy, my crown, stand firm, my beloved." And then he says, "I entreat Euodia and I entreat Syntyche to agree in the Lord." Now, it's funny, when we hear names like this, we skip over them because a lot of times we don't relate to it, or we're trying to sound out, we're wondering, did he say that right? Is that how I would say that? That kind of thing. So, but there's something important here. What Paul's saying is he's saying, I want these two people that are leaders, I want them to have unity together in Jesus. And he says, yes, I ask you too to help these women who've labored side by side with me in the gospel together with Clement and the rest of my fellow workers whose names are in the book of life. So Paul is pleading here for unity in the church with these people that are leaders that have worked alongside him. And he's saying, please, 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 for the sake of the gospel, for the sake of the work of Jesus, get along. And I see this so often with Christians, whether it's in churches, whether it's in friendships, whether it's in small groups. It's like we have a problem with each other and it can cause such tension. And in just these few verses, we see that it's so important to resolve those things. Because for the sake of the work that we do together for Jesus, when we're united together, we're stronger. And then Paul gets into my favorite section in scripture here in Philippians 4, verse 4. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say again, rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord always. And I say it again, rejoice. So what God's saying here through Paul, through his word, is he saying, when you have struggles in relationships with brothers and sisters in Christ, when you are in conflict or in disunity, find healing, but even more important, rejoice always in Jesus. It goes beyond just that one relationship. It says, Paul says, this is how I want you to live. I want you to live in a way where you let your reasonableness be known to everyone, where you rejoice every single day. In your notes, peace and joy go hand in hand. When you have unity and peace, then joy follows. And when you live in this joy all the time, gentleness, reasonableness, all these things flow out of you. And so this is a theme of Jesus' teaching. Jesus says, I've come so that you have life and you have it more joyfully, more abundantly, more completely. Jesus is like, this is how I want you to have a life full of completeness and contentment and joy and unity. And we struggle with this because we sometimes mix up happiness and joy, like we talked about in the kids' message. You know, sometimes we get happy and we feel joyful, but then the happiness fades and the joy goes away. We're talking about a joy that lasts, and it begins when we have unity. And it can be hard to have unity with people. It's so easy to disagree, especially nowadays. And what I've noticed is when we disagree nowadays, it's like there's not even really a conversation anymore. You throw out how you feel, someone else throws out how they feel. If they don't match, you just decide you're not going to talk further. And so it's important in relationship to have conversation amidst disagreement, even when it gets frustrating. This happened in my family yesterday. We got into a big disagreement. My wife, my son, and I are talking. And we're walking the dog, and we're all having a good family conversation. And then somehow, I don't know, it came up what color. Well, here, I want you to do this. I'm going to ask a question. In your head, you come up with an answer, okay? And then when I tell you, say to the person next to you the answer to this question that's going to be in your head. Ready? What color is Advil? Now say to the person next to you what color it is. Or ibuprofen, if you prefer, but you get it. Okay, so in your head, so we're having this conversation. Oh, I can't go too far. I was off the screen last time. They told me I disappeared for a while last week when I was talking. It was between pink, magenta, brown, and we talked, and each person felt extremely strongly about their opinion. And it was like purple, magenta, brown. And then we were calling each other names playfully. Like, are you insane? How can you say this? And we're like I said, we've got it down to like pink, maybe mauve, maybe brown, whatever. And then my wife Googles, what color is ibuprofen? And it says orange. You see what's funny about this is like we were all wrong. We were all passionate about getting our answer. And then the answer that Google said, which must be true, by the way, is orange. But what's funny is that that is kind of a picture of like when you all agree so strongly about something. And of course, I'm kidding. Like it was totally playfully fun. But and then half the time we're all wrong about everything anyway. So what are we so passionate about? And so what I'm saying here, what God's word is saying, what the Holy Spirit's telling us is to find that in the joy that lasts, to find the unity in that joy. And when we have that, we gain peace. And then he goes on and says, don't be anxious about anything, verse 6. But in everything, in prayer and supplication and thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. So he's like, hey, when you have unity and when then you get peace, then what I want you to do is not be anxious. Easy, right? Of course not. Of course not. But he says it so clearly that we have to stop and listen. And so what he's saying here is the next time you feel stressed, stop and pray in your notes. When we have anxiety, when we have worry, when we have fear, is our natural inclination to go in prayer, to remember our joy, and then to go to God in prayer? Probably not. My grandma used to say, if you're going to worry, instead, pray. And if you're going to pray, why worry? You know, it's this section of Scripture. It's like, there is no reason to worry when you're taking your request to God. And so Paul's saying, let your joy be how you live in unity. And when you get anxious, when problems come, give it over to God. And that peace of God, which passes all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. That peace that comes from God is bigger than anything you can grasp. It's bigger than that because God loves you that much. And so when we hear this, we say, oh my goodness, God's peace is more than I can imagine, and I've experienced God's peace, and it's pretty amazing. I want to know what that's like. And then he says, finally, whatever's true, whatever's honorable, whatever's just, whatever's pure, whatever's lovely, whatever's commendable, if there is any excellence, if anything worthy of praise, think about these things. And he's saying, when we have these things as part of our life, everything that flows out of it continues to give us that peace, to relieve that anxiety. And so Paul wants us here to keep perspective on what matters most. In your notes, it's Colossians 3:2. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. Hebrews talks about this too, keeping your eyes fixed on Jesus. Paul says, when you give the things over to God that the world throws at you, when you live joyfully, rejoicing even when things aren't great, but still having joy, when you find unity with one another, and when these things rule in your life and reign, then you realize that you have something beyond your own understanding that comes from Jesus Christ. So we set our minds on those things. We change our perspective from just a worldly perspective where this world, this moment matters most, to a heavenly perspective where this world is not our home. Not forever. That one day we'll be united in this joy forever. Free from all the other things in the world that bring happiness away. And so for us today, practically speaking, what that means is when we go through struggles in relationships, or when we feel like the world's in political upheaval, or when we feel overwhelmed by our lives, or by our personal situations, or in broken relationships, or whatever it is that the world throws at us, that yes, those things are allowed to hurt, and yes, those things are consequences of a sinful world. But those things aren't forever. But the joy from Jesus is. And so when we get anxiety, which is allowed because we're human, we just don't have to take all that. We give it to God. And when it seems overwhelming that this world is too much, then we set our eyes on what is yet to come. And we find peace in that. James writes, consider it pure joy, my brothers, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that in the testing of your faith, it gives you perseverance. Jesus says in Matthew 5, blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, falsely accuse all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven. For the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. Jesus says this is always going to happen. There are always going to be people to come after your faith and your trust in me. But I promise you, the joy I give lasts forever. Hebrews 12, let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sits on the right hand of God. And that same Jesus, who one day at his name every tongue will confess and every knee will bow that he is Lord, may we find joy daily in that. May our peace that passes our human understanding guard our hearts and our minds, and may it come from him. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand as we come together in prayer.